If you would, turn to Acts 15 with me this morning. I want to look through the first 11 verses, mainly Peter's statement, but we have to look at the whole story. This was, men had come down to Antioch where Paul and Barnabas were preaching, declaring a false gospel, a gospel by works. So then Paul and Barnabas, they went to Jerusalem to meet with the other apostles that probably had been having bad things said about them, to declare, to see about the matter. Anyway, in the story here, it starts in verse 1. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, that's contrary to what our Lord said. Christ said, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. And except you be born by water and spirit, you can't see the kingdom of God. Nothing man can do. No man can born himself. You know, you didn't decide when your mom and dad were going to conceive you. You didn't decide when you were going to be brought into this world, at what time you were going to be delivered. God did all that. And the same with believers. When it's His choosing, and when He chooses to save somebody, they will be saved. It's not a matter of if or how, but they will be saved. They're not looking to themselves. It's not about the law. Verse 2, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. Paul argued with them about it. He told them straight up. And we can see things that Paul has written to tell us how Paul felt about this matter. I mean, we look at Ephesians 1. He tells us that, you know, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us. He determined beforehand that He was going to save us and save all His elect. And it's to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's nothing to do with man. In Galatians chapter 1, you turn there with me. I'll dwell a little bit in here. Paul actually recounts his testimony, how he was taught of God. And then he also recounts this story of going up there. In chapter 1, verse 11, he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul knew, and that was the way all the apostles were taught, was by Christ. They had been taught, you know, the 11 had spent the years with Him here on earth and were taught of Him. And then the Apostle Paul, he was taught of Christ. Christ revealed Himself to him and taught him, and he was the 12th apostle. There's not 13 or 14. Men tried to make their own apostles. That didn't work. It's only the apostles that God chose. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, God did mighty things with him of having him write these epistles and finishing out the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul also tells us a little bit about the story in chapter 2 of Galatians. He says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. And he told this and these men, it tells in verse 5, he says, but even after that, a certain sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. You can't be saved by grace and by your works. You're either saved by one or you're saved by the other. Christ either did it all, paid all the sin debt for us, or man does the choosing. And if man does the choosing, we have no hope and we have no salvation. And Paul said that, he said that Abraham, if he had whereof to glory in his works, it wouldn't be before the Lord. So, but these men, they tried. And it said there in Galatians 2 that Titus, you know, he was a believer. God had saved him by grace. He didn't feel the need to be circumcised in the flesh. Circumcision's of the heart. We need our hearts circumcised. That takes God to do that. That takes God to waken us. Open our eyes, because we're dead. We're dead in sin. It says, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Well, like I say, Paul didn't go up there to find out if there was something he was missing. He was taught of God. And he went up there to make sure that what these men were saying, because they were probably saying, well, you know, Peter and John that were there, and James, the Lord's brother that was the pastor at Jerusalem, they're probably saying that, oh, those men, you know, Peter's saying this and John's saying this. And Paul went up to find out and make sure that his brethren weren't saying that. And as they were being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. They came through those areas, declaring Christ, declaring God and how he had sent the Holy Spirit to save those Gentiles, same as he saves everybody, from the beginning to the end. And the believers, they rejoiced in that. It's great to hear when a believer from another congregation that we know has the Lord has saved. Oh, it's such a joy to hear that. And to know that, and it's so much of a joy to have them right here in our midst whenever that happens. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. God had done some great works through the Apostle Paul. He had sent him. In one place I read, it called him, he was sent to the heathens, where that's the way the Jews felt about anybody that wasn't a Jew, was that they were heathens. But God has a people out of every race, tribe, nation, tongue under God. He has those people, and he sends his men and has that gospel declared to them. But then those Pharisees, it says the Pharisees which believed. It's kind of past tense, so maybe they started out believing the grace of God, but then decided to interject the works into it. That'll never work. Man cannot. And I know there's men in this area right here that have done the same thing. They have preached grace at one time and preached the doctrines of election and preached the doctrines of salvation, that salvation was of the Lord. And then they decided to make it about them having to do something. Man's not baptized to be saved. Man's baptized because the Lord saved him. That baptism is just a profession of faith. It has no merit in our salvation. The keeping the law. A man that is saved by God will try to keep that law and want to keep that law, but it's not unto salvation. It's to be Christ-like. Try to strive to be like Christ. Christ was the only one that could keep that law. That was God's law, and Christ had to keep that law. That made God just and the justifier. He had to be just in punishing sin. But in to be the justifier, he also had to live and die for those people in order for them to be saved. And in verse 6 it says, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, I'm sure there was, with men, and it's kind of sad, they just get into arguments about it. You know, the one side was saying that it's Christ is all, and the other side was saying, well, Christ is all, but you got to do. No, it's either Christ is all or not. There's no point in arguing it. You just declare Christ completely, that Christ is all and in all, and let the Lord do the work. He's the one that changes men's minds. He's the one that opens dead hearts. But I like this. Peter rose up. You can imagine. Peter probably, he's saying he's had enough of this. He rose up. And he said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. He's speaking of chapters 10 and 11 in Acts that he had the Lord had sent him to Cornelius. Cornelius had been praying. The Lord had spoke to him, gave him a desire, and he had been praying to the Lord. And the Lord had him send men to find Peter to come preach to him. Peter at this time still felt that it was only for the Jews. The Lord had sent him down a tablecloth that had all manner of beast on it. He told him to slay it and eat it. He did it three times. And three times Peter told him, he said, no. He said, nothing unclean has touched my mouth. But that's not what the Lord was talking about, the unclean animals. And the Lord said what he had made clean, not to call unclean. And he was speaking of these Gentiles that needed to be saved. And then he sent those men. The Lord sent those men to Peter and had Peter come with them to that Cornelius the centurion for the saving of his house, him and his house. What grace the Lord has that he would consider any of us. But then Peter went on and he said, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did us. He said, they were saved. We were saved the same way they were saved. There's no difference. Every man that has ever been saved by God has been saved in the same manner. The Lord Jesus Christ's blood that covers our sins. That's the only way that we can be saved. Is the Lord Jesus Christ doing it all? And said he in verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And there again, he didn't put any difference between whether they were Jews, whether they was Gentiles. Paul said that a man is not a Jew outwardly, but one that's inwardly. That's the Lord doing the work. At that point, they're all that the Lord saves are his people. They're all Jews inwardly. We can all say that if the Lord has saved us, we can all say we're Hebrews, we're all Jews. But only in the Lord, not in ourselves. Nothing we've done. And said in verse 10, he said, now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? No man has ever been able to keep the law. except the Lord Jesus Christ. God came here as a man, fulfilled the law, took his own life. He laid it down. No man took his life. He laid it down. He rose again. He sits at the right hand of God. He done it all. And there's nothing we can do except believe. We're told to believe. And we will only believe if he shows us this grace by which he has saved us. That's the only way. And then in verse 11, this is the Apostles' Creed. This is the Believer's Creed. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Peter didn't stand up and say, "I believe." He said, "We believe." That was the apostles at that time. Those men that God had saved, we believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Even as they. There again, he says that, you know, all men are saved the same way. There's no difference between the way Ron is saved, Patrick is saved, I'm saved. We're all saved by the same person in Christ. The same blood. We were led as lambs to the slaughter, the same for each one of us with Christ. If we were in Christ, we were the same way. I had titled this message "Saved by Grace," and grace is being saved by grace is one I kind of want to look at. I want to look at some examples of some men that were saved by grace, and they were saved before the law was written. Through Moses is when the law came about. But think about all the men, women that were saved before the law was written. It's written on every man's heart. We know right from wrong. We know that from the moment we're born. We know right from wrong. And because of sin, we choose wrong. We have to be corrected. But the first time that grace appears is Genesis 6. And oh, how we love the story of the ark. It says in verse 5 of 6, it said, "God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." There was nothing good about man. In himself, in his sin, man was evil continually. It didn't say except for Noah. It said that the wickedness of man was great in earth and every imagination. But then, in verse 8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Then Noah didn't make a choice to choose God at that point. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord decided to save Noah out from amongst these people. Put him and his family in the ark which represents Christ. All that are in him are in that ark. We're all in Christ that believe that he's chosen. But that's the first mention of grace. But that's not the first time grace was applied. If we go back to chapter 3. God said that. And this is where man gets in trouble to start with. Is God says one thing. Man says another. Man likes to believe what man says. We need to find out what God says. God told them that if they eat of the fruit of that one tree, they would die. They didn't die physically. They died spiritually, which was according to his plan of salvation of his people. He chose a people before the foundation of the world to save. So this all had to come to fruition. But the devil had said that, oh, you won't die. That's what men are saying now. God says that he's angry with the wicked every day. And men are out here saying, well, God loves you. Well, no, you can't have both ways. God, let's go with what God says. God's the one we need to be looking to. God needs to be the last word, the first word, the last word. He's the Alpha and the Omega. But it says that after they had eaten that apple, or whatever fruit it was, fig, after they had eaten that, that in verse 15 of chapter 3 in Genesis, it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We have the woman's seed, which is Christ. Christ was sent here of a virgin. He had no sin because he wasn't born from man. He was born from God. I mean, these Adam and Eve at this point had sinned. He could have just destroyed everything and started over. But he didn't. He chose that he was going to save some people. And immediately, he shows them grace by teaching them the gospel. And then he went on. He killed a lamb and covered him with it. There in it. He taught them the gospel. And then we find that Abraham was out. He was just part of the world and living. He was 75 years old. He was an idolater. He had all kinds of idols. God called him. Told him, said, get out of that land. We'll put you in another land. You know, the Jews, they didn't start out from anything different than just having Abraham as their father. Abraham, you know, at that point wasn't a Jew per se of the Hebrews. You know, he had fathers and brothers, and he had grandfathers. But he was the means that God used to start the Hebrew nation. And Isaac through him, which was God the Father, God the Son. All that are in Christ are Jews inwardly, and we're of Christ. If Christ saves us, we will be saved. There is no way around that. We have Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were representative of two religions, man's religion and God's religion. And God's is the only one we need. We need a lamb. We have to have a lamb shed. Christ was that lamb. He was brought down here, and his blood was shed one time. Not multiple lambs. We don't have to keep having a lamb now. Christ is that lamb. Christ was brought here. He died on that cross. He is our salvation. And then Ephesians 2 tells us that we're saved by grace through faith, and that faith is not even ours. And it's not by works, lest any man should boast. But the one of the greatest examples of grace being applied without works is the thief on the cross. The thief hung there, had done no good, none whatsoever, had not given God a thought. for ever how many years he had lived. Now he's hanging on a cross. God, hanging beside him, turned to him and told him he would remember him that day in heaven. Saved him there on the cross. The thief wasn't baptized. Don't know whether the thief was circumcised. Certainly hadn't kept God's laws. So what justifies him? Christ justified him. Christ's blood justified him. There's no other way around that. If Christ justifies us, there's nothing we can do except we will believe with all our hearts. We will seek him with all our hearts. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We will look to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we will glorify him in every manner and every step of our lives that we can, to the point that he allows us to do it. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. Paul said that I would do, I do not. And that that I would not, that's what I do. But if Christ saves us, he has put our sins as far away from the east as from the west. We need to just look to Christ. Christ is our salvation. We're saved by grace. If we're saved by grace, there's nothing else to add to it. Saved by grace. Christ is all and in all. May the Lord have mercy on him. Thank you.